Srimad Bhagavatam, which contains the glorious pastimes of the Supreme Personality of Godhead and His eternal servants. So today, we're able to glorify the person Bhagavat. The book Bhagavat, there's two Bhagavats. Bhagavat the Savior, Nastra Prayeshu Bhadreshu Nityam Bhagavat the Savior. Nityam Bhagavat the Savior means to always serve the Bhagavat. Bhagavat means the book Bhagavat, and it means the Mahabhagavat. So you have prasadam, you have Mahaprasadam. So the prasadam that we offer and we offer the Lord and take that, it's called prasadam. But when the Lord directly takes it, specifically offered to Him, that's called Mahaprasadam. So the book, Srimad Bhagavatam, is called the Bhagavata. And those personalities who step out of the pages of the book and appear before us and take us by the hand and lead us back to the promised land, so to speak, spiritual world, they're called Mahabhagavat. You have Bhagavat and Mahabhagavat. So the Mahabhagavat is the person, the embodied Bhagavat. You have prasadam and mahaprasadam. So today is the all-auspicious day, the Tirubhav Mahotsav, disappearance of our beloved Param Guru, Sripad Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur, Goswami Maharaj. So we're asked by our spiritual master to fast today, half a day, and to glorify his life and teaching.
Jayani lo prema danna karuna prato Jayani lo prema danna karuna prato Jayani lo prema danna karuna Kaha Kavira, Kaha Mora Vata Yuga, Kaha Kavira. vasudevaya
om namo bhagavate vasudevaya
om namo bhagavate vasudevaya
Suffice for the Bhagavad Viraha Janita Vilap. Lamentation and separation from the great devotees, eternal devotees of the Lord. Srinivasacharya Thakur gave Krishna Prema, pure love to everyone. Oh, where has Prabhu gone now? Where are my Swarup Dhamadhar and Sri Rupa Goswami? Where is Sanatan? Where is Das Raghunath, the lifter of the fallen? Where are my Raghunath Bhatta and Gopala Bhatta? And where is Krishnadas Kaviraj? Where did Gauranga Mahaprabhu, the king of dancers, suddenly go? I will crush my head with a rock and jump into a fire. Where will I find Lord Gauranga, the ocean of jewel-like quality? Being separated from their loving association and the blissful pastimes of Mahaprabhu, Narottam Das can only cry. I'll read the translation to Vaishnav Thakur. Oh, hey, Vaishnav Thakur. Oh, Vaishnav Thakur, O ocean of mercy, please be merciful to your servant. Keep me sheltered under your lotus feet and purify my heart. With both hands, I firmly grasp your lotus feet. Help me to control my mind, my words, my anger, my tongue, my stomach, and genitals, which represent the six passions of this body. Remove my tendency for overeating, sense gratification, and attachment to material things. My inability to follow the four regulative principles. Remove my impure habits and the useless idle talk, which are the six bad qualities. Please give me the six good qualities. Please give me firm faith and bhakti. Give me enthusiasm to practice bhakti. Please give me a strong desire to attain prema bhakti. Please bestow upon me a favorable service attitude, and may I appreciate the devotees. And please give me the power to avoid materialistic people. These six qualities are necessary in order to make spiritual advancement. O Gurudev, O Vaishnav Thakur, by your mercy, may I always associate in public with devotees. Invite devotees into my home. Hear and chant about Krishna with devotees. Receive Mahaprasadam from a devotee's hand and offer Mahaprasadam to devotees. These are the six ways to associate with devotees. Alone, I have no strength to chant the holy name of Lord Krishna. I need your mercy. Please give me a drop of faith so I can attain the treasure of Krishna's name. Krishna is yours, and you have the power to give Krishna to me. I am just a poor beggar running behind you chanting, Krishna, Krishna. Bhaktivinoda Thakur, Vaishnava Thakur. So, tonight we'll read a description of the life and then we'll hear some of the teachings of Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur. Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur, the guru of Srila A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada, appeared in Sri Kshetra Dham, Jagannath Puri, on the 6th of February, 1874, as the son of Srila Sachit Ananda Bhaktivinoda Thakur. In his childhood, he quickly mastered the Vedas, memorized the Bhagavad Gita, and relished his father's philosophical work. He became known as the living encyclopedia for his vast knowledge. He preached convincingly against casteism and philosophical deviations from Gaudiya Vaishnavism. He tried to unite the four sampradayas by publishing their teachings. Srila Saraswati Thakur earned the title Nrisimha Guru for his fearless and powerful delivery of the Vaishnava Siddhant. Mayavadis would cross the street to avoid confronting the lion guru. Besides being a courageous preacher, he was ornamented with all divine qualities and full of ecstatic love of God. He established 64 Gaudiya Math temples in India and centers in Burma, England, and Germany. Srila Saraswati Thakur excavated Lord Chaitanya's appearance place at the Yoga Peak in Sridhar Mayapur, despite heavy opposition from money-hungry caste Goswamis of Navadvip. There's still, even today, there's a controversy going on. It's been going on for several years. It's called Prachina Mayapur. Prachin Navadvip. You have Janmastan in Mathura, and on the backside you have Prachin. Prachin Janmastan. Pochakund is there where Devaki washed the clothes of Krishna, of Vasudeva Krishna. It said Pochakund. So they say that's the original Dharmasthan, and Birla's temple, of course, built in a secondary place. But the original place of the prison house, and it was 5,000 years ago, they say is the Prachin Dharmasthan, which is located behind the place where everyone goes. For those devotees who study the ancient texts, they generally accept this other place, the old place, as the actual place. At any rate, in the same way, in Navadvip, in the actual main part of Navadvip, when you cross the river from our place by boat and you go to the city of Navadvip, there, in one section, there's a place where they say that is Mayapur, that is the appearance place of Lord Chaitanya, and that place is being maintained by the followers of Radharaman Charandas Baba, Nitai Gaur Radhe Shyam. They've been there for a long time, 100 years maybe or so. And they have many staunch supporters of their cause, including Srivats Goswami of Vrindavan, Srivats Goswami, Anathadas Pandit of Radhakund, and other rather famous and contemporary Vaishnavas who are completely opposed to the Gaudiya Math, and they're in opposition to Bhaktivinoda Thakur and in opposition to Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati. So we're all saying that the other Mayapur yoga pit where we go is the actual place. So this is a big... Even today, in the age of Kali Yuga, the age of quarrel and dissension, there's quarreling over this point about the Janmasthan. And they line up so many government people on their side and show ancient maps, and then our side has so many government people on ancient maps. So the debate goes on and on. Of course, Lord Chaitanya, he can appear in 100 places at the same time. So it really doesn't concern us very much. We follow our family and accept the yoga pit where it is. So when his father, Bhaktivinoda Thakur, by studying the maps and by revelation and by consulting locals and so many things, he discovered the actual appearance place, or at least rediscovered the appearance place, the Sridhar Mayapur, the appearance place of Nimai Pandit. And then his son, his illustrious son Bhakti Siddhanta Heap, developed it and built up a nice place there. So that's why we say, despite heavy opposition from money-hungry caste Goswamis of Navadvip, because they were very opposed. What is this? Because they already had, before this place came up, they already had the Prachin Janmasthan. What is this? Because he was very powerful, Bhakti Siddhanta, and he's very influential with government leaders and with the public, and very forceful preacher. So if he starts making a Janmasthan down the road, or across the river, then everyone will go over there. No one will come here and give any rupees over here. So we're money-hungry caste Goswamis. So we want the money. And we won't... So there's a big fight. Now that fight is going on since the last 100 years. He built a beautiful Gaudiya Math temple here. His three Brihat Mridangas printing presses, located in Madras, Calcutta, and Krishnanagar, used to pump out books, magazines, and newspapers to spread the message of Sri Gauranga Mahaprabhu. When asked, why did he print a daily spiritual newspaper entitled Nadia Prakash, Srila Saraswati Thakur replied, if an insignificant city can produce 5 daily newspapers, then why can't we publish a newspaper every second about the eternal, ever-fresh, transcendental activities of the Supreme Personality of Godhead in his unlimited spiritual planet, the Loka Vrindavan? You see, in any big city, there's the morning paper and the evening paper. Now in Delhi and Bombay, a place they have the midday. They have a paper called Midday, which is, what, I don't know what it is, but... So they have morning, midday, evening, and then the late news. They have the evening news, then they have the late evening news. Like in New York City, they have, must be 5 times a day, they have like Ashtakalya newspapers. You know, there's 8 different kalas, Ashtakala, 8 periods of the day for Krishna's eternal pastimes in Vrindavan that flow wonderfully and sweetly according to his will and the will of Radharani. It's called Ashtakalya Lila. But in a big city, they also have the Ashtakali Lila. They have their Pratak newspaper, Nishant newspaper, Pratak newspaper, Purvana newspaper, Apurvana, Madhyana newspaper, Ratko newspaper. They have their newspapers 8 times throughout the day. So Bhakti Santa Saraswati says, oh, why? Why are you questioning why we have a newspaper once a day on spiritual subjects? We can publish every second. So this is the real world, the eternal world, the unlimited world of variety and attraction and satisfaction and interest, rather than this hackneyed, dull, dry, stale, satiated world of material energy. Apart from his father's writings, he published many shastras, such as Bhagavad Gita, Srimad Bhagavatam, Chaitanya Bhagavat, Chaitanya Mangal, Prema Bhakti Chandrika, and his favorite book, Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita. He predicted that foreigners would learn Bengali to relish the nectar left by Srila Krishna's Kaviraj in the Chaitanya Charitamrita. He introduced many innovations to expand preaching. All over India, he staged 3 theistic exhibits and dioramas depicting the pastimes of Sri Krishna and Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Employing the latest technology, he even had animated dolls. And that's something. He had animated dolls that Murtis would move, their heads would move, their hands would move. This is in the 1920s. So it's quite progressive. Even now in India, hardly you see anyone has animated Murtis. They were moving. This is 1920, 1924, like 70 years ago. To commemorate the many holy places visited by Lord Chaitanya, he installed marble impressions of the Lord's lotus feet. Breaking tradition, he let his sannyasis wear tailored kurtas and overcoats, ride in cars and motorboats, and carry Mahaprabhu's message across the sea to Europe. So traditionally, a sannyasi doesn't wear any sewn cloth. Traditionally, in other words, he gets some piece of cloth and he rips it in half and he wears a lungi or a dhoti on the bottom side, and then he has kopan and then lungi, then he has a uttariya. Uttar means top. Uttariya means top piece. And there's no sewn, there's no hemming or edges sewn, and there's no question of a button-down shirt with pearl, buttons or gold buttons or anything like that. It's just a plain piece of cloth, or maybe a kumbhal or a heavy quilt in the winter. Kanta and kumbhal, some simple cloth. This is how the Goswamis wear kanta and kumbhal, a small bahir vesh, vairagya vesh, and then a kumbhal, a sewn quilt, patchwork quilt they would wear in the winter. So he broke that tradition. He said, no, you wear a button-down shirt with studs or whatever, and you look very first class like a gentleman, and you go and approach the materialists, and you convince them to surrender to Krishna. And then they drove in cars, and they also had motorboats. He had one motor launch on the Ganges, and they would go up and down the Ganges in a motorboat. And then, of course, they went across the ocean. Sannyasi traditionally doesn't travel over the ocean. In other words, he doesn't leave India. Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati, revolutionary preaching ideas sprang from the Shastric principle of Yukta Vairagya, set forth by the Rastacharya Srila Rupa Goswami. Being an eternally liberated soul, Srila Saraswati Thakur knew how to perfectly engage Maya, illusory energy, in the service of Lord Krishna. Following Srila Thakur Bhaktivinoda's footsteps, he preached Daivi Varnashram to harmonize society and provide spiritual fulfillment for all. Advocating the teachings of Sri Rupa and Sri Raghunath Das Goswami, he taught the science of devotional service and showed thousands how to attain pure love for Sri Sri Gandharvic Girihari, Radha and Krishna. Those were the names of his personal deities, Gandharvic Girihari, which he installed in Sri Ramayapur at the Sri Chaitanya Math, the international headquarters of the Sri Chaitanya Gaudiya Math. Aside from his phenomenal preaching success in India, Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur's greatest contribution was Srila A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada, whom he initiated and inspired to distribute Krishna consciousness all over the world. When Srila Prabhupada was asked to describe his spiritual master, Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur, he said, "What can I say? He was a Vaikuntha man. He was a Vaikuntha man." Vaikuntha means he had no anxiety. He was blissful. joyful. Vaikuntha. Kunta means anxiety. He was a man that had no anxiety. His only anxiety was for the conditioned soul, that they take the Krishna consciousness of everywhere and everyone, but surrender to Krishna and taste the satisfaction of serving Krishna and the happiness attained at liberation. So he was this man. He was from, and that was his nature and characteristics. But then he was from that place. He was from Vaikuntha. He met his Siddha. Mahabhagavat. He came from that place. In all ways, he was a Vaikuntha man. In Radha Govinda's eternal pastimes in Goloka Vrindavan, Srila Saraswati Thakur serves as Nayana Mani Manjari. His Pushpa Samadhis are at Radha Kund and Radha Damodar. So it's Radha Damodar Mandir, a very nice white marble Pushpa Samadhi that was built by ISKCON. It was refurbished or renovated with white marble by ISKCON about 3 years ago. So you can go there and make pranams and offer prayers. There's one very nice song, Bhakti Santa Saraswati. He wrote many songs. At least one of those songs we have in our songbook. And it's a very wonderful song, glorifying the Guru Parampara. And it begins with Krishna and Chatur Mukha, goes through Brahma. And it's sung to the same tune as Sri Guru Sharana Padma. Sri Guru Sharana Padma, Krishna, it's very easy to sing. It's in the songbook. And it's all the different acharyas in the book succession. So we can sing that song. Now we thought we'd read some quotations from his teachings. There's one book in English that was published by his Gaudiya Math called Sri Chaitanya's Teachings. That is the title of it. And in that book, it is a book in English, because he often spoke in English to professors and to... So many foreigners came from Germany, especially Germany, because Germans, for some reason or another, have a long affinity for India over the last several hundred years. Germans specifically, out of all the European countries, England, of course, goes without saying, England has a strong affinity for India because they ruled over here for 200 years. But aside from England, the Germans are the most interested in Indian culture and Indian knowledge. So many Germans came here and received instruction. So all this whole book is spoken in English, so there's no translation involved. It's a direct English word of Srila Bhakti Santa Saraswati. So by hearing his language, we can become purified. So we just read selectively here in this book. I wrote down my notes and quotations. Some other page numbers I wrote on here don't correspond with today. There's a different quotation I wanted to read seems to have disappeared. Okay, I guess I wasn't supposed to read that one. Okay. So this one is entitled One Guru. There cannot be more than one Guru. We should first of all make a searching inquiry throughout the world to single out the proper person whom we can get the process for our adoption. We should rely on him fully and have our confidence, Shraddha, in him. He will dictate to us what sort of bhajan or engagement we should perform for the welfare of our soul. As a result of this engagement or bhajan kriya, we will be set free from all troubles and all our acquisitions. Empiric activities will be regulated. That means that all the undesirable elements which have crept into our activities will be eliminated. It's another way of saying anarcha-nivritti. You meet Guru, ado shraddha tatha sadhu sangha, shraddha, with faith. You meet Guru, then you do bhajana kriya. And by bhajan you become kriya, you become purified. Purified of what? Anarcha nivritti. So he explains that the undesirable elements which have crept into our activities will be eliminated. That's his definition of anarcha nivritti. Then we attain nishcha. Nishcha means that we resolve that we will not deviate from our only object, which is to serve the Absolute and be constantly attached to Him. So it's interesting definition, because we have Bhajana Kriya, and after Bhajana Kriya, when you become purified of the Narsis, you can become steady. But Nishchita, Nishchita Bhakti, or Nishchita, not only means steady, but it means a firm faith. But he defines, not only it means firm faith, but it means firm resolve. It means the dedication that I will not deviate from the service of Krishna, and I will be constantly attached to Him. This is the definition of Nishchita. To have a resolve that my only object is to serve Krishna, and I should always be attached to Him. So all of this is given by the Guru. So that's why he said you should make a searching inquiry throughout the world to single out the proper person. I mentioned that in class the other day. We should be willing to search the whole world, not just you go down the street. And you look, and you go down the street in your village, and the man says, "Yes, I am Panaji Acharya, Acharya Shamaji. I am Jagadguru. I am Jagadguru for the whole universe." Oh, how many disciples do you have? I have 500, I have 50 disciples in this village. Any, you have any disciples in Delhi? No, Delhi, I've never been in Delhi. How about Bombay?
No, Bombay.
France, Germany? No, I am Jagadguru. So he has 5 disciples. So we have to look, search, find. Where is that person? Now this one is about humility and chanting. Chanting. Very nice language. So much potency there. It's very eloquent and powerful. One should patiently receive all that comes to him. Very profound statement. One should patiently receive all that comes to him. In other words, so much suffering will come, we should be patient. So much enjoyment will come, we should not become disturbed and elated and forget Krishna. Very patient. Patiently receive all that comes to him. He might be called a fool or an incompetent man. Still, he should not show any aggressiveness. In other words, someone says, "Hey, you fool, you rascal, you nonsense, you knucklehead." So people might criticize. Just be patient. Don't show any aggressiveness to resist such insinuations. This is a whole discussion on humility. I'm explaining how to be humble. Someone may call you a fool or an incompetent man, but don't show any aggressiveness. What do you mean? You're a fool. No, don't show any aggressiveness to resist such insinuations. He should hear the name of Krishna from an unconditioned soul who has no attachment whatsoever to the world. We should accept the views of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu in our transcendental march in preference to any other advice. If someone wants to give us advice, you should do this, you should get married, you should have a job, you should do this, that. So much advice our fathers, our friends, our relatives, our minds will give us. But if that advice is not in consistency or in agreement with the instructions of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu or with the views, then we should not give any preference there. The unalloyed soul should adopt a non-interfering policy with both the mind and body. And if we can isolate our position, we will find that we are relieved of all mundane anxiety in the shape of matter or in the subtle form of intelligence. Leaving these aside, the function of the soul is to take the name of Krishna, as Krishna is the fullest representation of the transcendence of the Absolute. The ever-existing divine manifestation is also full of knowledge and all bliss. He is Satchidananda. That Satchidananda will prevail in us when we so welcome the transcendental world. If we are sincere, Krishna would come into our vision and we would easily discover him. Living in Kali Yuga, an atmosphere surcharged with erroneous impressions, we cannot expect in the beginning to chant the name properly without difficulty. We never welcome Krishna properly by uttering his name. In the course of chanting, hundreds of irrelevant things intervene owing to our uncontrolled desires. We are full of many mundane impressions, so we must guard ourselves against committing the 10 offenses during the chanting of the holy name of Krishna. Without avoiding the 10 offenses, one cannot make any actual progress. Now, this is a very nice discussion. This is about, we know from Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, Srirupa Goswami Pad, he explains the 64 angas, 64 limbs of devotional service. And then he explains that of these 64, 9 are very important. Shravanam, Kirtanam, Vishnu, Smaranam, Padasevanam, Arjanam, Mandalam, Dasyam, Sashyamakyam, Devanam. These 9 are mentioned initially in the Srimad Bhagavatam in the teachings of Prahlad Maharaj. However, Rupa Goswami goes on to explain that these 9 can be boiled down, can be condensed from these 9 forms of condensed milk, the sweet condensed milk of serving Krishna, can be further boiled down into bhakti, the bhakti of service to Krishna. The bhakti is more relishable, it's more condensed, more concentrated. So when you concentrate these 9 and boil them down into bhakti, 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 then you have 5 forms, panchanga. And those 5 forms are, he said, of all the forms of devotional service, these are the most important. Mathura Bhati, to live in Mathura, Harinam Sankirtan, to chant the holy names of the Lord, Bhagavat Shravan, Rasika Bhakta, Bhagavat Shravan, to hear the Bhagavatam, Bhagavat Shravan, from the lips of a Rasika Bhakta, mentions that, Srimurti Sevaya, Shraddha Sevaya, Seva, to serve the deity of the Lord with faith and Sadhu Sangha, to serve the Vaishnava. These are the 5 most important limbs of bhakti. So Srila Bhakti Sanda Saraswati, he explained that actually, and this is also confirmed by Krishnadas Kaviraj and Chaitanya Charitamrita, that if you further boil down this bhakti and condense this bhakti, you can imagine condensed bhakti, you get one form of devotional service. And this form of devotional service is the most important above all the others. Above all the other forms. And what is that form? Chanting Hare Krishna. Kirtan. This chanting is considered the most important. And this is mentioned by Krishnadas Kaviraj in Chaitanya Charitamrita because he's recounting the teaching of Sanatana Siksha. Lord Chaitanya Sanatana, when he's going over the different types of devotional service, he said, well, what is the most important thing? So many things one can do, so many varieties of ways to serve Krishna, but what is the one and only most important thing? And the most important of all forms of devotional service is to chant Harinam Sankirtan. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. If you don't know what to do, whether to read, or whether to this or that, or serve the deities, you can't figure out what service to do, you simply chant. That is the best thing. And that is what all our acharyas have taught us. They have not been so keen on establishing big temples and absorbing themselves in puja, although they would do, but they would always chant the holy name of the Lord. So Bhakti Sanda Saraswati, he explains that these 5 forms of bhakti, they actually all stress one thing. The most important thing is the holy name. So even the 5 forms of bhakti, these 5 essential things, living in the holy dham, hearing Bhagavatam from Rasika Bhaktas, serving the Vaishnavas, serving the deities, associating with devotees, chanting Hare Krishna, all of these 5 indicate, they actually all mean one thing, the holy name. So he explains, after careful consideration of the 5 best practices of Sri Nam, the best practice is Sri Nam Bhajan, service of God's name. Because this is the root of all of these forms of devotional service, and this form of devotional service is glorified over all the others. First, Sadhu Sangha. These are the 5 most important things, associating with devotees. So, he says that Sadhu Sangha is recommended by Rupa Goswami to create an inclination or a taste for Sri Nam Bhajan, which results from association of holy saints who are attached to Sri Nam Bhajan with a firm faith, and they chant the name systematically. So he's saying one of the most important things is to associate with sadhus. Rupa Goswami says, of the 5, of all the forms, this is one of the 5 most important things. But what happens when you associate with the sadhus? And he says, okay, here you take these beads, I'm chanting now 1 lakh of rounds, you sit next to me and you chant with me. And then you sit together for 8 hours and you chant, and you hear Shuddha Naam from the lips of the Mahabhagavat. And he becomes so much purified at his lotus feet. So when you associate with him, what's he going to do? He's okay, now it's time for kirtan. Pick up, you know how to play kaitos? 1, 2, 3, 1, 2, 3. You go, choo, choo, choo. And he says, all right. And then he picks up madanga or harmonium or whatever. And then they have a kirtan. So if you associate with the sadhu, you will engage in Sri Nam Bhajan. If he will emphasize, he will teach you. He said, yes, you should chant Hare Krishna. Take these beads. Your name is Krishna Das. Radhadasi. You take these names. Take these names. And you chant Hare Krishna. And you get purified. So he will give you names. He will give you a name. He will glorify the name. He will chant the name. And you will hear the name from him. So Sadasanga means Srinam Bhagavatam. Now the second one is Srimad Bhagavatam. Bhagavat Shravan Rastika Bhakta Sangha. One should hear the Bhagavat from the lips of a Rastika Bhakta. That's the most important thing, one of the five. But what happens? When you read the Srimad Bhagavatam declares that Srinam Bhajan is the highest of all virtues. In the beginning of Bhagavatam, first and second canto, there are many, many verses glorifying the holy name. In the middle of Bhagavatam, there's the story of Ajamiel in the sixth canto. At the end of Bhagavatam, in the 12th canto, the very last verse of the Bhagavatam, yesterday he signs off by saying, simply by performing Harinam Sankirtan, you can attain all perfection. That's the last verse of the 12th canto. So throughout the Bhagavatam, if you study Bhagavatam and hear from the Rav, you'll hear all about the glories of the holy name. The name of Narayan, the name of Krishna, Govinda, Gopal. So Srimad Bhagavatam also means Srinam Bhajan. And the third thing is residence in Mathura. Mathura Bhat, or live in Vrindavan, live in the holy Nam. So he says, Nam Bhajan. So the idea is, he says, living in Mathura also means Srinam Bhajan. Because when you live in the holy Nam of Vrindavan, or Mathura, what do you hear? Wherever you go, there are ashrams, and there are devotees, and all they're doing, walking around with their loudspeakers, saying, Rade Govinda, Rade, over here, like, this guy's always Rade, Rade Govinda. They're always chanting, Jai Rade, Jai Rade, Haribol, Haribol. The lights go out, you're in some place in the market, maybe you have no inclination to chant, and the lights suddenly go out in Vrindavan, and everyone in the market says, Haribol, Haribol, Rade, Rade. So you just went down there to buy some boga for your sense gratification, even if you're completely in Maya, you're in the marketplace, but you're in the holy Dham, one of the most important five things, but you're not really thinking of Krishna, you're not meditating on Astakali Leela, you're not meditating on your sarup or your guru's mantra, you're simply thinking, oh, I'm hungry. I mean, you're a spiritual person, you've come to live in the holy Dham and get the benefits. But when you go, but because you're living in the holy Dham, when you're in the marketplace, even though you're buying some food for your tongue or whatever crazy thing, you maybe admire some Grihasthi or whatever, or some anybody. But then the lights go out, the electricity goes out, and then, Haribo, Haribo, Radhe, Radhe, you hear the holy name. So living in the holy Dham means you'll be forced to hear Srinam Bhajan, even if you don't want to. You'll be forced. So you'll get purified. So living in the holy Dham also means ultimately Srinam Bhajan. And the fourth thing is deity worship. The service of Sri Murti with faith is conducted with so many mantras, which are full of God's name. Jiva Goswami in the Hari Bhakti Vilas says a deity service, actually it's explained in the Hari Bhakti Vilas by Sanatana Gosai and Gopal Bhatta, and also in Bhakti Sandarbha, that if you're worshipping a deity, and you're not, and the deity worship is not accompanied by the chanting of the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra, which is the Yuga Dharma for this age, is the actual yajna, then that deity worship will not have any effect. It will not be purifying for you. It will not be acceptable by the Lord. Because the most acceptable thing and pleasing thing to the Lord is the glorification of the holy name. Now, if you're doing Archan Marg, you're following the path of Archan Marg, you're doing puja, but there's no mantra, there's no chanting of Hare Krishna mantra, specifically Hare Krishna, not just so many mantras, Om Tad Vishnu Paramam Param Sadap, or Shanti, Suryo, Jivitam, Sushitam. So many mantras are chanted, that is not sufficient. You must also, at least in this day, you must also chant Hare Krishna. So the very practice of deity worship itself also emphasizes and ultimately involves itself with Srinam Bhajan. You know, there's so many mantras that you chant, simply even in the path of puja. So it's like this mantra, Om Tat Vishnu Paramahamsa, you're chanting the name of Vishnu, Narayan. Om itself is also Krishna's name. So, and this Murti Seva, which is one of the five most important, it also means Srinam Bhajan. It also emphasizes and ends up and includes chanting Hare Krishna. Now the fifth thing, the last thing is Srinam Sankirtan. So one of the most important things, which the fifth thing is Harinam Sankirtan, and that's already been discussed. That means chanting your japa, chanting in kirtan, and your guru mantra, your gayatri and guru mantra. So, and then he explains here himself, he reminds us, Chaitanya Charitamrita states that of the nine ways of devotional service to get love of Godhead, the foremost is Nam Sankirtan. One who chants name without offense surely achieves love of God. In the Bhakti Sandarbha, Jiva Goswami says that there is no type of bhakti. There is no other type of bhakti like Maturavad, Sadhu Sangha, Srimurti Seva, or listening to Bhagavatam. None of that is complete without Sri Nam Sankirtan. Hari Bhakti Vilas, which is the best and foremost of all scriptures for of all spiritual practices for attaining Krishna's grace, says that Sankirtan, he says that the other practices are, he says if other practices are helpful for you to perform Nam Bhajan, then you should do them. Otherwise, reject them. If your deity worship helps you to chant Hare Krishna, then you perform deity worship. If living in the holy dham helps you to chant Hare Krishna, you live in the holy dham. If associating with devotees helps you and all these things, then you do it. But the most important thing is to chant Hare Krishna. So actually we're running out of time. I think we'll stop there. There's so many quotes. The book is 600 pages long. The original book, Sri Chaitanya's teachings, with all interviews and quotes and everything. And we expect it's about 100 pages of quotes that were particularly interesting to us and for preaching purposes. Any questions or comments? Sure, Dr. Shaker.
And
we had at one time inquired from Bhakti Charu Swami and some other Gaudiya devotees here in Vrindavan, because we had heard this term, it's a term of reverence, Thakur. Thakur, as far as we know, it means a great soul. Prabhupada mentions the word in one purport, he mentions the word Thakur. I could look on the folio and find out, maybe we'll look later. But he actually refers to this word Thakur as defined in one purport of the Bhagavatam. It means, or Chaitanya Charitamrita, it means very elevated, very extraordinary and elevated soul, a Siddha Mahatma, a perfected being. Because I wanted to use this term in reference to one devotee named Jayananda, who's a godbrother whom Prabhupada said had gone back to Godhead. So he was, life was fully dedicated in pure devotional service to Lord Jagannath, Krishna, and he left this world in Krishna consciousness. Prabhupada said he went to Vaikuntha. So we thought maybe we could give him the name Jayananda Thakur. So we inquired, because in that name, that title is given. No one adopted. No one, Narottam never said, I'm Narottam Das Thakur. He didn't introduce himself. That name was given as a title after his disappearance. So in the same way, I thought that we could give this title of honor to this great devotee who attained. But upon inquiry, they said, no, this is, you can't just, so many pure devotees come and go, and so many devotees go back to Godhead. There's hundreds and thousands of devotees. But this title, Thakur, is very, 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 is only given to exceptional devotees, and here's the qualification. Exceptional pure devotees who make incredible contributions to the parampara. Those devotees who make outstanding and incredible contributions in terms of their writing, specifically their writing, and their realizations, and their realized lifestyle, by which they lead people on the path of Krishna consciousness. In other words, they're vast luminaries on the horizon. There's so many stars in the sky, but there's only one moon. So many pure devotees come and go, and they open temples and ashrams, and they preach, and they have 100 disciples or 500 disciples.